on last Wednesday, I want to take just a minute, if I could, to review those things. And I want to begin in Galatians chapter 1. So Galatians chapter 1, we read a few verses from Galatians 1 last week, but I want to read more tonight and show you a related verse. Paul defended the gospel. He said that he was appointed for the defense of the gospel. He said that both in chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel in Philippians 1. So I know I got you in Galatians 1. I just want to set some of this up. Paul defended the gospel because there were attacks against it. And those attacks came in the form of incorrect preaching and teaching that were an attempt to pervert the gospel. Well, if something has become perverted, it means it has been altered in some way. It has been changed in some way, and that it's not as it was originally. It's been altered and presented in a way other than its genuineness and its purity, and what Paul called the simplicity and the purity of it. And I asked you a question last week. I'll ask it again tonight. Are we to assume that the attacks against the gospel ceased when Paul was no longer around to defend it? And of course, the answer to that is no. I ventured into some areas that I don't normally venture into, but we looked at the gospel that Paul preached in the first century and how things had devolved, or how things had been altered or changed or perverted come the 15th century when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church. And not so much as to draw a line in the sand, but as I explained to you last week, it was customary for different priests and ministers to present theses for discussion. And that was his hopes and goal in establishing those and writing those 95 theses, that the Pope and others would take a longer look and reconsider some of the practices that had developed in the church. And the same demons that wanted to kill Jesus for healing a man on the wrong day are still alive and well today, operating in planet Earth and trying to confuse and prevent demonstrations of the Spirit and alter, pervert the gospel. There are a lot of people who have been born again, but as we've said over and over again, they don't understand their salvation and the new birth. And a lot of that goes back to the gospel being perverted. Brother Donald mentioned after the service on last Wednesday night that, you know, we've used the example of 2,500 pieces for a 2,000-piece puzzle, where the devil's always trying to give us more pieces than will fit to confuse us. And that perversion of the gospel is where those extra pieces come from. Remember, there's a difference between what the Bible says and what it means. And I'll guarantee you that every person who came behind Paul to pervert the message that he preached were using something the Bible says to pervert it. And I've got a verse in here even that the Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul that, if we have time, we'll share tonight. But let's begin here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And what is the grace? Look at me for a minute. What is the grace of Christ? The grace of Christ is salvation by grace, not by works, not of yourselves. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, the grace of God. By grace we're saved. to a different gospel. So a different gospel here, a perverted gospel, a gospel other than the true gospel, would be one that would be either, and notice now, this is how the enemy works. It's not that he tries to get rid of the concept of grace. It's that he tries to bring alongside something else that is also required. Like it's grace and the law. It's grace and circumcision. It's grace and fill in the blank. In the 15th century, it was grace and forgiveness and purchasing an indulgence from the Pope to lessen your time in purgatory for sin that had already been forgiven. And as we said last week, find that in the Bible. It's not in there. But that's what can, will, and does happen when we don't defend and aren't, in other words, stewards of what the gospel truly is. He says, which is not another. It's not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That word trouble there would perhaps be better translated trepidation. Trepidation, which is similar to intimidation. It's a form of fear. And intimidation would be like when somebody's bullying you. Trepidation would be like uncertainty, where you can't quite get settled in, you can't quite get planted, you can't quite get grounded. And so it would make someone timid. Not, remember, timid is that intimidation. Not so much that they're being threatened or bullied, but they're timid and reluctant because of the uncertainty. And it goes something like this. Well, Paul told us this, but now these people are telling us this. And what these people are saying is from the Bible. What these people are saying is from Moses. What these people are saying. And so it created the confusion, which created the double-mindedness, which created what? The instability. So trepidation, we think of something troubling us, it's causing us trouble. Think about like if there's something going on in your life and the enemy is trying to use it to trouble you, to keep you awake at night, bothering you about it, can't seem to get any peace about it, that sort of thing, okay? So that's trouble or trepidation. And want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. I wasn't a mathlete. You ever heard that expression? Somebody said, I was a big guy, but I was not real coordinated. I wasn't much of an athlete, and I didn't really like math, but I love the word. Amen. And so my competition, glory days was in a Bible quiz team. And one of the years that we did Bible quiz, we did, four of us on the team, we did Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and I was the Galatians anchor man. Amen. And, no joke, back in those days, I memorized a lot of this back in my teenage years. And, this part always seemed a bit over the top, in my youth. I'm like, come on, Paul, let them be accursed, man. Are you, you got to be in your bonnet about something here? What's going on, But you do realize that these words are as much from the Holy Spirit inspired word of God as anything else in the book of Galatians, or for that matter, anything else in the New Testament or the Old Testament. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God breathed. So some of the really bold things that Jesus said, obviously remember Jesus said, I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. And the same is the case with the Apostle Paul. He said some very bold things, but it wasn't Paul full of himself. It was Paul full of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is the man who said, follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, come on now. And again, that's, you know, there are a lot of people in our world who would benefit from following some of you, amen, as you follow Christ, because they need that earthly mentor and example to help disciple them and reveal to them the right way to go. So Paul's not just full of himself here. Paul's not just angry about people who came behind him and preached another gospel. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to say, what I've told you and what I've preached to you is the gospel, and anybody else who comes behind me, even if it's an angel or even me later, if I come back to you at some point in the future and preach something different from what I've preached now, let me even be accursed. This should communicate a few things to us, and first and foremost, it should communicate to you and me how important it is for us to be settled on the truth of our salvation and the new birth. How important it is for us to not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that blows through the body of Christ, but for us to not only know what we know and know the truth, but to be able to defend it and speak the truth in love concerning it to anyone who would bring an attack against it. Verse 10, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. First of all, let me go back to verse number 10. What is he saying here? He's saying, I'm not worried about offending somebody. I'm not just trying to play nice with these, you know, people who come in behind me and say, well, you know, that's not exactly how I would say it, but I kind of understand where they got that from. Now, that's not what I would preach if I was there, but hey, you know, I mean, that's their interpretation. You know, that, in other words, he didn't take that, that approach to this. He's basically saying, you know, let them be accursed for preaching something other. In other places, he's going to say, God will deal with them. I mean, he's serious about this. Why is he serious about this? He's serious about it because God is serious about it. That's why the scriptures say the men and women who stand in front and teach will be held to a stricter judgment. Amen. So that's what he's saying. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to try to persuade God. I'm here. What's the answer to this? For do I now persuade men or God? He's not trying to persuade God to take his side. He's on the Lord's side trying to persuade men. Is he trying to please men? No, he's not trying to please men. In his days in religion as a Pharisee, he was all about that. Remember the Pharisee's question, who do you make yourself out to be? It was all about who you made yourself out to be. It was all about your reputation and pedigree and how much you knew and who you could impress. But Paul was free from all that. He said, I'm not about that anymore. It's not who I am anymore. He said, but I make known to you, brethren, verse 11, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. You're fixing to find out why, you're fixing to understand why Paul was so bold and could be so bold and so confident to say such a thing as what he said in verses 8 and verse 9. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. Oh, I like that right there. To reveal his son in me. My friend, Father wants to reveal his son in you just like he wanted to reveal his son in the Apostle Paul. That I might preach him, Jesus, among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem with those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Now, if we were to keep reading, we would see that Paul preached for 3 years. He went to Jerusalem, met with a few folks there. Then 14 years later, he went up again. So the gospel that Paul preached, he didn't receive it from a seminary. He didn't receive it from any denomination. He didn't receive it from any indoctrination from another person. He had his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Ananias came and prayed for him. He received his sight, and I think that's more than just his ability to see physically. His eyes were opened. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then that phrase, I immediately conferred not with flesh and blood. Meaning what? Meaning he didn't go to somebody and say, hey, teach me about Jesus. Tell me what you know about Jesus. Tell me about the things Jesus taught. Tell me what Jesus did. None of that. Were there people alive on planet Earth who knew those things? Absolutely. But did he go and find out these things from those men? No, he did not. Who did he find these things out from? Who taught him what to preach? Who taught him about salvation? Who taught him the truth about the new birth? Who taught him what all these things were concerned? The Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, through the Holy Spirit, taught the Apostle Paul the things that Apostle Paul preached and the things that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in his earthly, in his ministry as an apostle in the first century church. Are you with me now? Why is this important? It's important, again, because this isn't, you know, listen to me, please. This isn't a big deal for me. Let me say it that way. When people call it the Pauline gospel or the Pauline message or what have you, meaning Paul with I-N-E on the end of it. But Paul would be the first to tell you that he's just telling you what the Holy Spirit told him. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see how detailed the information actually was that Paul received from Jesus. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, I know some of you are following along on your phone. Some of you following on the screen. I maybe should have taken the time to do this. But those of you who have your Bibles open, are you noticing that the words spoken by Jesus are written in red just like they are in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels? A red letter edition of the New Testament means everything Jesus said is written in red. But now, and it's rare that you find this, but now you get outside the Gospels. Here we are cruising through 1 Corinthians, and there it is in red again. Why is it in red? It's in red because Jesus said this. And Jesus said this not to Paul while Jesus was alive in human form and on the earth, in his earthly ministry on the earth. Jesus said this to Paul after Jesus had been crucified, buried, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of God the Father. So when the Apostle Paul says, what I preach, I didn't get from a man. I got it from Jesus himself. I got it from by revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed it to me. Jesus showed it to me. What is he saying here? He's saying every bit of this. In other words, Paul didn't know to teach the church this because John was there and John told him. He didn't know to do the Lord's Supper this way after this manner and even quote what Jesus said when Jesus served it to the disciples because Peter was there, and he ran into Peter at an apostles' conference, and Peter told him that, and Paul's go, oh man, that's good. I hadn't been doing it right, so I'm glad you told me. Hold on just a second. Let me write that down so I can get it exactly the way Jesus said it. So next time I do the Lord's Supper, I can do it the way the Master did it. No, he did it exactly the way the Master did it, and he did it exactly the way the Master did it because the Master told him how he did it when he did it the first time with the disciples. It is amazing, absolutely amazing, but why are we spending a little time here tonight? It's because I'm trying to show you that it wasn't just general concepts about salvation, there is a lot that Paul could have pieced together from his knowledge of the Old Testament. There were a lot of things he could have figured out, amen, based upon what he all that the prophets said about Jesus, all that Isaiah said about Jesus, all the, you know, in the first five books of the Bible, even the things in the law about the animal sacrifices and the priesthood and all these things. I mean, all of those things are types and shadows of the Messiah and of Jesus who was to come. And the Apostle Paul would have been an expert, please hear me, more than likely could quote it all frontwards and perhaps even backwards. That's how well he would have known the Old Testament. So there were a lot of things, amen, that he could have quote unquote put together, himself. Amen. But I think this is recorded strategically by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians to help us understand what he's saying in Galatians. When he says, the gospel that I preached, I did not receive it from a man, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Meaning what? Meaning he didn't just stitch some things together from his knowledge of the Old Testament, but Jesus himself explained to him exactly what the gospel of salvation is, exactly what it means, exactly what it looks like, and then the Apostle Paul went forth and preached that, taught that, and the letters that he wrote that are the canon of Scripture now are simply teaching letters that he wrote, correspondence that he wrote to the churches to continue to teach them and us in his absence. Are you still with me? Okay, I feel like I lost some of you. Stay with me. What time is it? A few more minutes? Yeah, we got a few more minutes. Can you hang in here? Yes? Okay. Now, Paul used the expression, my gospel, and or some variation of that throughout his writings. And I've often, you know, thought, you know, my gospel, okay, well, that's interesting. And especially as a young man, I always wondered, okay, his gospel, does that mean John had a gospel? Does that mean, you know, Peter had a gospel? Well, when he's saying my gospel, he's talking about not something that he has exclusive rights to, but what he's saying is, I'm giving it to you just like Jesus gave it to me. And so here I'll try to use the inflection of my voice to communicate it. But like in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, when the Apostle Paul says, according to my gospel, according to my gospel. Let me step back for just a minute, okay, and we'll come back to that just real quick. There's something that is gaining momentum in our world today that we need to be aware of. And it's something that you're hearing more and more and more among the younger generations. And it's this phrase, my truth. I'm living according to my truth. And of course, what they mean by that is, this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm going to do it. And I don't care what you or anybody else has to say because this is my truth. And if you have a problem with what I'm doing, then you have your truth. I'm going to have my truth. I'm going to do it my way. You do it your way. Okay. That is not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying according to my gospel. I don't know what your gospel is, but this is my gospel. No, when he's saying according to my gospel, he's saying, this is the gospel that Jesus gave to me. So when he says according to my gospel, we have to look at that, I believe, in light of what he said in Galatians, that if anybody else, angel, me, or any other apostle or preacher, teacher of the word of God, if they teach something other than what I've taught you, okay, let them be accursed. So when he says according to my gospel, the idea here is that other gospels, remember though, he says they're not gospels. Are you following me? They're preaching differently and they're calling it the gospel, but that's not the gospel. So we could say it this way, according to my gospel or according to the gospel that I received directly from Jesus himself and was inspired by the Holy Spirit to preach, teach, and now write and publish. Are you following me? Now, there's also though another reason why he would use my gospel. All right, let's look at a few verses here, okay? According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, this is to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, which was committed to my trust. Okay? Maybe we'll take a Wednesday night. It would take a little while to really break down all these verses. But look at this verse, and this was leading up to verse 11. Again, Paul to Timothy. Timothy was a pastor, a son in the faith. And he says of those who were preaching a perverted gospel, notice what he said. He says, they're desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Right? I've shared this on more than one occasion with you. People come up to me and disagree. I teach these things other places. One particular situation a few weeks ago at the Foundry, you know, brother comes up to me, Pastor Mark, the Bible says. Okay. All right. You're absolutely right. That's what the Bible says. But do you know what it means? Do you understand? Can you tell me what this word means? And very quickly, he gives me a definition that's not even close. Okay. Again, I'm not bashing. I'm just trying to show you that he is saying things, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor things which they affirm. There are a lot of people today that are still in pulpits that are desiring to be teachers of the law. Amen. Saying that the righteousness is based upon our performance, based upon our doing, instead of something that we've been made, our being. But they don't understand what they're saying. In other words, they don't know what it means. That's what the Bible says, but they don't know what it means. Nor the things which they affirm. In other words, to affirm something means to say that's right. This is how it is. That's right. They're affirming something that they don't even understand. Okay? So when Paul says my gospel, have you ever heard the expression take ownership? To take ownership. So look at this passage. 1 Timothy 1:11 is, he says that the gospel was committed to his trust. Let me just try to simplify that, okay? Jesus taught me this. Jesus gave this to me. Jesus trusted me with this. Jesus revealed mysteries to me. A mystery is something that people don't understand. Jesus revealed mysteries to the Apostle Paul, and I believe based upon his vast knowledge of the Old Testament, I believe based upon his driven personality, there are a lot of things, amen, that we can point to. Basically, the Apostle Paul just simply says, he separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me. But the bottom line of it is Paul was set apart by God to do exactly what he did. He was a very special and unique vessel that God used mightily. I don't think any of us understand how much we benefit today from what the Apostle Paul did. More than likely, people that he got born again in the first century were instrumental in the people that got you born again whenever you were. He basically preached the gospel to every person in Asia Minor. I mean, it's phenomenal what he did. But the other thing I think, can you, nothing against anybody else. Thank God for James. Thank God for John. Thank God for the four gospels. Obviously, thank God for Jesus, all that he taught us. But think about where we would be in our understanding of our salvation, especially if you give Paul credit for writing Hebrews, if everything the Holy Spirit revealed to the church through the Apostle Paul was taken out of the Word of God. I mean, second only to Jesus himself. And certainly Jesus knew these things, and I think it was a lot of the things that he revealed to Paul that Paul then preached. It's what Jesus was referring to when he said to his disciples, I still got so many more things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Bear meaning what? Take the ball and run with it. Take the ball. It's bearing it is more than just knowing it. It's understanding it. It's processing it. It's being able to do something with it. That's what it means to bear it. When he found the, I say found, when he received the vessel of the Apostle Paul, he found somebody who could bear it. Bear the responsibility of it. Bear the understanding of it. And bear the ability to explain it and teach it to others and do so unashamed, unafraid, boldly. So, First Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Okay? So, let me try to land this plane. A steward is someone who watches over and manages something that belongs to someone else as if it were their own. Are you seeing a little more clearly now why the Apostle Paul called it according to my gospel? It wasn't his truth. It's the truth. There's only one truth. Jesus is the truth. But the truth revealed truths to the Apostle Paul that he then became entrusted with, that he then became a steward of. This is why he says, I must defend this. Jesus trusted Paul with it. Paul proclaimed it to the world. People came behind Paul and attacked it and tried to pervert it. And the Apostle Paul said, that's not right according to the gospel that was given to me by Jesus himself. And so he saw himself as a steward of the mysteries. Now, we've been talking a lot on Sunday mornings about our understanding. And we see that understanding, at least the kind of understanding that we're talking about, understanding of the spiritual things, the deep things of God, being able to see things as they truly are, this kind doesn't come from man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, me teaching you alone is not enough. Because remember, I'm not your teacher anyway. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I'm here to stand before you and tell you what he's telling me to tell you. And then as I'm telling you that, he's coming alongside it and he's helping every person that's listening and engaged and has a longing to understand. He's coming alongside and he's showing you things and connecting things in your life and things that you just read 3 days ago. Now all of a sudden he's breathing on it again and he's showing you how this piece connects with this piece and that piece. And that's how our understanding changes. It's something that has to be unlocked supernaturally by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has not been given to everyone. Why was it given to them and not to everyone? It was given to them because of their longing to understand, because they had a heart, a ready heart to hear and receive. And even when Jesus said things that they didn't understand, they didn't leave and get mad and get offended, but they stayed with him. As Peter said, where else will we go? You have the words of life. And this attitude of their heart is what uniquely qualified them to be trusted with the mysteries, to be trusted with the understanding of things. Now, they're being trusted with it, because remember, Jesus is going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. They're going to stay here, take the baton, and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he gave them understanding of things in hopes that they could continually go and preach and teach, and others would come to that same understanding. And that's what's been ongoing from Jesus' earthly ministry until tonight. Amen. Amen. So when it comes to mysteries being unlocked and mysteries being revealed, I'm not sure any human being other than Jesus had more mysteries of Father's kingdom and understanding of spiritual things unlocked and revealed to them than the Apostle Paul. And you see why. Remember, he did with Abraham what he did with Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach it to his children. I think it's very similar. He knew that he could show the Apostle Paul these things because the Apostle Paul would do anything short of and even up unto, you know, his own life, losing his own life to preach these things. He wasn't just saying, when he said, I would gladly be accursed if all my Jewish brethren could come to the knowledge of the truth that I now know. That's you talking about preferring somebody before yourself. Amen. Amen. So a steward is someone who watches over and manages something that belongs to someone else as if it was their own. Amen. Stand with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We went through a list of key things last Wednesday night. I'm not going to do it again now. We may dig into some of these a little deeper next week. But if you want to know what Paul preached, read Romans. Read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Read 1st and 2nd Timothy, Philemon. Read these things. This is what he preached. And if any voice in your life is preaching something different from or contrary to that, you don't need to be listening to them. You need to shut that off, shut that down. Well, you know, I mean, Pastor Mark, everybody's got their opinions. No, say again. Because I think this is where, let me just say it this way and I'll pray. Father's looking for some more people who are stewards of mysteries. He's looking for some more people that he can share some truth with that you'll take ownership of as if it's your own and be a steward of it, be a defender of it, be a confirmer of it in the way you live your life and demonstrate it. And when we say defend it, I mean, obviously, led of the Spirit, all that stuff, but, you know, when people around the lunch table start making fun of speaking in tongues, we got an opportunity here, right? Because we know that that's for real. We know that that's for today. And so you're just like, hey guys, you know, I want y'all to know, man, that may sound so strange to you, but I'm a Spirit-filled man. I prayed in unknown tongues this morning before I got in my car and came to work. It's just simple defense, right? Because are you following me? And you don't have to argue, butt heads, call fire down from heaven. No, none of that. It's like, hey, I mean, just, and maybe that's a pearl before swine thing. Maybe there's just a few people in the group that later you say, hey, look, you know, I wasn't wanting to bash so-and-so, but I want you to know, man, that if you're interested in this, I can explain to you, because I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. I do speak in unknown tongues. This is for real. It is for today, and it is a crucial, essential part of my walk with the Lord. See, that's defending. Because what happens if nobody ever says anything? Everybody just, well, it must be what it is. People affirming things that they know nothing about. People offering expert opinion on something that they don't even know what it means. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Father, that you have raised and are raising up stewards of your mysteries here, Father. Defenders of the gospel, defenders of the truth. Father, men and women who aren't afraid to speak up and tell others what they know and have experienced and can demonstrate and are demonstrating, Lord, in their lives. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. But Lord, your word makes it clear that there are many gifts that you have given to your people, and the Apostle Paul is one of great, great value and importance to us. Thank you for the legacy of this man. Thank you, Father, for what you revealed to him that he then meticulously stewarded and put in writing and recorded for us to benefit from today. Help us, Father, be like the Apostle Paul. Help us know what we know to the point of confidence and boldness, and then not be afraid to stand and to defend. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. All right. Until next time, know that you're loved, that Jesus is Lord, and as we love to say here at Heritage, good things coming. Good things coming for you and yours. Amen. If the Lord lays Mark and Emily and their family on your heart next few days, just pray for them. Amen. Know that the Lord is with them, and we're believing for the peace that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.